"I cannot think how I came to overlook it," said the inspector with an expression of annoyance.
"It was invisible, buried in the mud. I only saw it because I was looking for it."
"What? You expected to find it?"
"I thought it not unlikely."
He took the boots from the bag and compared the impressions of each of them with marks upon the ground. Then he clambered up to the rim of the hollow and crawled about among the ferns and bushes.
"I'm afraid that there are no more tracks," said the inspector. "I've examined the ground very carefully for 100 yards in each direction."
"Indeed," said Holmes, rising. "I should not have the impertinence to do it again after what you say, but I should like to take a little walk over the moor before it grows dark, that I may know my ground tomorrow, and I think that I shall put this horseshoe into my pocket for luck."
Colonel Ross, who had shown some signs of impatience at my companion's quiet and systematic method of work, glanced at his watch.
"I wish you would come back with me, Inspector," said he. "There are several points on which I should like your advice, and especially as to whether we do not owe it to the public to remove our horse's name from the entries for the cup."
"Certainly not,"
cried Holmes with decision.
"I should let the name stand."
The Colonel bowed.
"I'm very glad to have had your opinion, sir," said he. "You will find us at poor Straker's house when you have finished your walk, and we can drive together into Tavistock."
He turned back with the inspector while Holmes and I walked slowly across the moor. The sun was beginning to sink behind the stable of Mapleton, and the long, sloping plain in front of us was tinged with gold, deepening into rich, ruddy browns where the faded ferns and brambles caught the evening light. But the glories of the landscape were all wasted upon my companion, who was sunk in the deepest thought.